Preach in the name of Jesus this morning, and I do not apologize for being up here two Sundays in a row, but I guess this is probably the only time that I can remember, at least, that I asked if I could do it two Sundays, take message responsibilities two Sundays in a row. The more I began to put this message together, the more the Lord seemed to reveal to me things that I read, and as I began putting things together, I began to see that it's probably going to be a lot easier for you to absorb it at two different times rather than having you stay here till about 11:45 or something like that, 12:45, I mean. And so, hence, I am up here again today, and I'd just like to continue in a very practical way the things that we opened with this past Sunday. And I apologize to the brethren here, to the men in the Sunday school. I actually did not catch a whole lot, and I apologize for that. I caught a few things, but this thing has been weighing on my mind. And so you continue to pray as I share these things with you today by the aid of the Holy Spirit. I want to be clear, but I don't want to be explicit where it takes your mind in a direction that is not healthy. So you pray about that. And so we look at some practical ways of how to keep our lives pure and holy before the Lord. To begin with, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. We're going to look at the end of the chapter here. Just while you are turning to that, if you can just think with me a bit about the six basic principles that we looked at last Sunday to guide us, some principles right from the scriptures that would help us to keep our lives pure and holy before the Lord. We looked at this principle of holiness in our lives, that our bodies are not our own. We belong to God. We never should attempt to bring any glory through our body or by our body, but our body, the way that we live and the way that we conduct our lives, is bringing glory to a holy God who has created us. We also looked at the principle of purity affects my relationship with God. Destroys that eventually if I continue to live after the flesh. The third thing we noticed is that consequences often will follow living a life of impurity. We also looked at this principle that we all face temptations. But we also looked at this thing that purity is possible and it's expected of the Christian. And number six, there is forgiveness and cleansing. And we looked at those six basic things. Just wanted to reiterate them and to have you think about them just very, very briefly. When it comes to the book of Proverbs, there are many practical things that the writer has to say, Solomon has to say. Probably most of these were written by Solomon. There are probably a few that were not. But as he looked at principles, and then he comes across very practically when it comes to this thing of purity. And he often talks about how that our minds should be pure and then our actions will be pure. And we're going to look at it rather in that way today. But we're going to look at verses 23 through verse 27. And again, I'd like for you to stand to your feet as the scriptures are read. There's another passage from the book of Psalms that I would like to notice as well. All right, Proverbs 4, verse 23 is where we will begin. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, if you would turn back just a bit to Psalm 119. I'd like to begin reading at verse 9. Psalm 119, beginning reading at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And may God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures. You may be seated. We're looking at practical helps from the scriptures. How can I then live a pure and holy life, especially when it comes to this thing of sexual purity? Last Sunday, we had just mentioned, I'd mentioned very briefly, that there are a tremendous amount of pressures around us. It's not only a suggestion anymore, it's not only a hint, but it's just boldly confrontational in many ways. If you are in society, you're among ungodly people. If it's not in speech and it's the way they conduct themselves and the combination thereof. So to simply say that, well, we don't face a lot of pressures is simply to not being aware of what's going on around us, because that those pressures are there. And I would hope that there are never pressures from within, but that can happen on occasion. And sometimes that may happen without us really realizing what we are doing and what is going on. All right, looking at this first passage from Proverbs chapter 4, there are several things that I want you to notice. Now, we're going to get into this practical thing right away. One of the things that I want you to know is that sin, and again, just a reminder, sin begins in the mind. Sin begins in the mind. It's the thought life. Now, when it talks about the heart here in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. The heart is a combination of our thoughts. It maybe even has something to do with what we sometimes talk about as the soul. It's the drives. It's the desires that we have. It's the passions. But generally, it's the combination of our thought patterns. And that's often what it means when it speaks of the heart. And here it says, keep the heart. Guard the heart. So if sin begins in the mind, it begins logically. It begins guarding your thoughts. And the idea is this guard is like is building a garrison. It's like fortifications. One place that I read this morning, it said something about a citadel. And that is a place that is oftentimes it's set on maybe a rise, maybe it's a hill, maybe it's even a mountainside, but it's set at a place where it's very, very easy, or it's much easier to guard it. You're well aware of what's going on around you. You can see a distance. When the enemy is coming, you can, if you keep yourself inside that garrison, that citadel, you're protected. You keep yourself safe. Guard your mind. And that's very difficult sometimes. I want to look at about six things of how we can guard our minds. But there's a few other things that just in a preliminary way I'd like to share with you. Some thoughts that I'm entertaining, that I've entertained, and things that have spoken to my own life. But again, just remember, young people, middle-aged, older ones, it begins in the mind. Now I realize that there are some times we are confronted with something that we didn't necessarily just think about it before and concentrate on that, but suddenly you may see something, you may even read something that you're not you're not intending to see. Something maybe out in the open. But all of a sudden you're confronted with something. And all of a sudden your mind starts just traveling. It's not something you had planned. It's still possible to guard our minds. How many of you know what 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 has to say? One of the last phrases. Anyone know? That is one verse that you should memorize, at least part of it. Bringing every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You say, well, sometimes it's just all of a sudden my mind goes in that direction. I'm confronted with something and there goes my mind. And that happens. Well, when that happens, if you are intent by the power of the Holy Spirit that He will help you to capture that thought and get rid of that thought, bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It takes work. I tell you, it takes work. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit constantly in your life to captivate your thoughts. The wise men said here, if you can guard your thoughts, the general pattern of the thoughts that you have, if you can control those and guard those, do it with all diligence. He says, out of it are the issues of life. Very, very simply stated is, your thought patterns direct your conduct. That's the way you live. The general thought patterns that you have is how you live. You feast. If your mind goes to garbage, you're going to live garbage. I mean, that's very crude, I guess, in some ways. But if that's what your thoughts are, that's the way you're going to live. Out of your thoughts are the issues or the direction of life that you're going to live. That's how you're going to live. Steer your mind, in other words. Ask God daily. One of the things that you can practice to do is every morning when you awaken, in your first prayer, ask God to direct your thoughts throughout the day. The Holy Spirit of God to control your thought patterns. And you know what? One of the best ways to do that is to feast on the Word of God. Read the Scriptures right at the beginning of the day. You remember what we read back in Psalm 119, verse 9? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know how you take heed to the Word of God? Is by saturating your mind with truth. That is the best way you can guard your thoughts. Is saturate your mind with the Scriptures. Throughout that whole passage there in the book of Psalms, especially from 9 through verse 16, it's the idea of your thought life is saturated with the things of God. And I know, depending who you are with, you begin to hear things. But you know, the place where I work 3 days a week, I hear things that, if I am not careful, it'll take my thoughts in a direction I wonder, how can my thoughts go that far? I have to be very, very careful. And one of the things that has helped me is to read the Scriptures. And I know that's, you can read the Scriptures without it affecting you. I understand that. But read it with the idea of filling your mind with truth before you really begin the day. And that has helped me in a lot of ways. It's just, anyway, maybe there's enough said about the thought life, but it is so important. And again, later in Psalm 119, verse 130, the psalmist again says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." That has been a tremendous help to capture thoughts. The Holy Spirit of God, when that thought, when you hear something, and the Holy Spirit of God helps you, that thought does not continue to go, and it brings you, takes your mind in a place where you don't want it to go because of what you may have seen, what you have heard. Saturate your mind with truth. Verse 9, take heed. That's in Psalm 119. Verse 10, long and search after God. Verse 11, hide God's word in your heart. Verse 12, allow God to teach you. Verse 13, talk about them. Testify. Verse 14, delight in the scriptures. Verse 15, ruminate. It doesn't say ruminate, but meditate. But that's where thoughts, scriptures keep going over and over and over in your mind. One of the things that may help you to do that is to focus, and I think there's some value in just reading maybe chapters a day in the scriptures. There's a lot of value in that, and I'm not downplaying that. But in that reading, however many verses you may read, how large a portion you may read, focus on one or two verses and allow that verse to just simply just keep going over and over in your mind. Focus on one thought. That has been very helpful, not only to me, but to others. In verse 16, he says, remember, that means rehearsing over and over again. All right, how can I then practically, what are some things that we need to think about? How can I practically guard my mind beyond just simply cleansing by the reading of the word and saturating my mind? Proverbs 15, verse 14 says this: the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. In other words, watch what you feed your mind. And that is very, very important. I know this comes right on the heels of saturating our mind. But we read things outside of the scriptures, depending what you read. You know, when you read, you're always, for the most part anyway, most people have word pictures in their minds. When I read even something that may not even be a story or something like that, but it just seems like there's a screen there. It's just constantly, there's pictures going through my mind. Even words do that oftentimes. What you feed your mind on, remember that what you read, what your mind is saturated with, is what you will become. Now you say, well, you said that before, and I probably will say it again. What your mind feeds on, check what you read. If you feed on garbage, that's what you're going to be thinking. And then you're going to live garbage after a while. Your mind collects thoughts from what you read, from what you see, and what you hear. And those things come by way of where you are, where you go. And so if you have problems with reading material, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 about verse 30, where he's talking about adultery. And he said something about a man looking on a woman to lust after her, to long after her, illicit thoughts, that kind of thing. You know what he said immediately after that? There's some radical moves that he said you have to make sometime. If your hand offends you, what did he say to do? Cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Jesus is saying there, the principle there is you might have to make some practical some radical moves in order to protect yourself, to guard your mind. There may be things, and it may be because of temptations that you have faced. There may be reading material that you simply have to cut off and throw away. And maybe for the most part it might be innocent to other people. But you may have to set the boundaries. See, when you set up those guards around you, you may have to set those boundaries out further than maybe what some other people do. Jesus is saying you may have to take some radical steps in order to guard yourself because of maybe temptations that you have faced in the past. And maybe you have fallen. And so that garrison, that guard that you have to place, your reading material, what you hear, where you go, you may have to set those guards way out there. Don't be afraid to get radical. That's what Jesus is saying. Is it worth it to protect your mind, to guard your mind, and do what it takes? Cut it off, if that's what it means. All right. Another way that you can protect your mind is to guard and be careful about your friendships. Be careful about your friendships. Who you are with makes a difference. You see, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13 says, "Be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners." Now, I'm pulling that out of its context just a bit. But the principle is there. Who we are with and with whom we spend time, we tend to become like them. And you know, you may tell yourself, well, I'd like to help this person. This person is having a problem, and I understand there is a real value in that. We help each other. We can encourage each other. But oftentimes, it's easier to be pulled down than to pull others up. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe God asks us sometimes just simply to cut off some relationships and with whom we spend time. Now, I know we can have friendships outside of Christian circles. I understand that. I have friends that I really enjoy being with, and I've learned from those people. But if it's the kind of thing where it starts pulling you down, and then Jesus said, cut off the hand, pluck out the eye, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, put up those guards. Be careful. Again, I remind you, it's easier to be pulled down than it is to pull another up. We need to be very careful. All right, third thing. Be alert to what brings temptation. I already alluded to this. There may be things that may bring temptation to you that may not bring temptations to others. And so, again, I say you may have to put those boundaries, you may have to put those guards out a lot further than what others do. Don't be afraid. Again, I remind you, don't be afraid to put those guards out there. Whatever it takes, build those fences. Don't look at others and say, how can they do that? And it doesn't bother them. They may not have faced. They may not have been tempted in areas that you have been tempted. But wherever you are tempted, don't be afraid to put those guards out there. Might affect where you go, who you are with. I'm going to have to turn to this passage. I thought I had it in my mind, but I don't necessarily. In Ephesians 5, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Be aware what brings temptations. He said, don't let it be named once among you about these sins of the flesh. Set up guards. Don't place yourself, don't ever, ever, ever place yourself into an area of temptation where you know that's presumption. Again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Number four, how can we guard our minds? Well, I think that we can help each other. We can help protect each other. We help each other. We encourage each other. Parents, we can help our children when they are younger, even the way we conduct ourselves around in a home setting. Siblings among themselves. Parents, I think we need to regulate that. We need to put some cautions and care into that, where siblings are not, don't become too familiar with each other. I think that's important, that we guard against that in a home setting, especially where there are both genders and sometimes even where it's the same gender. And I think we need to really be careful about that. Another thing that I want you to think about is, and I know I'm going to get a little practical here, I think that we need to be careful that we personally never set any kind of temptation in front of each other. And what I mean by that is, generally men's minds are stirred by the visual, by what they see. Women's minds are often stirred by touch. And I know that varies just a bit, how strong it is, I understand that, but generally that's the way it is. Men by what they see, and women by touch. Since we know that, both genders need to guard very, very carefully what we may even unknowingly place in temptations in front of another. So now, do you remember from Matthew chapter 5, I alluded to it already, where Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, do you know, men, that you can actually make women feel like you're caressing them with the way you look at them? Be very, very careful. Young men, be careful. Be very careful about that. Flirting, whatever it may mean, a combination of things, we need to be careful. Here's what we should do. When you're tempted to do that, men, look at the face. Look at the face. The person is, you know, who you really are is in the face. That's where you should focus. Men, guard your eyes. There is a reason why Jesus said, looking, a man looking. That stirs those passions. Men, be careful where you look. On the other hand, I plead with you, sisters, maybe you don't realize. You simply say, well, why does a man have to think the way he does? Well, the fall did it to us, I guess. It's hard for women to understand how men think. And I don't know, I guess I shouldn't say I apologize for that, but that's, we're struck by the visual. Sisters, please, please, I urge you, be very, very careful how you dress. That even though a man determines to just look at your face, that you do not dress in any way that draws a man's mind immediately somewhere else. Please be careful. It can be something immodest, as tightness of clothing that accentuates the body. That's all it takes sometimes. It can even be extra trimmings. You say, I'll get off of it now. It can be. You see, extra trimmings draws attention. You understand what I'm saying? Can be a loud color. Can be a combination of things. I know you said, oh, why does a man's mind work that way? I understand that. Please, be careful. We need to help each other. Men, we can also dress immodestly. It may not affect the woman as quickly. It may not affect the female as quickly as it would a man. But it can. The bottom line is, if you do anything by the way you dress your body, the way you move your body, the way you throw yourself around or whatever, if you draw in any way, men or women alike, you draw any attention to your body, it's wrong. To me, from the scriptures, that's sin. Let's help each other. Keep our minds pure. I just beg of you, I guess. All right. Another way that we can help each other guard our minds is be accountable. And let me say this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if someone comes to you sometime and say, I'd like to be accountable to you. I struggle with this. Don't be afraid. It may take some extra time. But if you can help someone being spared, being destroyed by immorality, sexual immorality, you can help a soul to be taken to glory. It's worth it. Be accountable. If you struggle with something, don't be afraid to ask someone to be accountable. You know what it does? The person that you are accountable to can also be strengthened. Don't be afraid of doing that. All right. If I fail, what then? What then? You see, oftentimes it's this, in this thing of sexual impurity, oftentimes it goes beyond just affecting me personally. It often affects others. As I said before, there are often consequences, in some cases more than others, but there often it affects others. But even if it only affects you personally, it'll affect other areas of your life. But there is cleansing. If I fail, repent. There needs to be a change of heart, a change of ways. Again, just think of Psalm 51 and all those steps. David just pled with God. He began by saying, I'm guilty. I have failed. I have sinned. Don't tell yourself, if you fail morally, don't tell yourself it was just a mistake. It wasn't so bad. Sexual immorality is sin. It's an abomination to God. It's using your body and possibly even others in a way that God never, never intended. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is forgiveness, but it comes at my repentance. Yes, the change of heart. I turn away from that, and then I receive forgiveness. The third step is Ephesians 4. We're going to turn to Ephesians 4, and I want you to notice some verses there. And notice the sequence of things as well. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. Verse 22 says this: "You put off concerning the former conversation of the conduct, the pattern of your life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And then verse 25 talks about different things that you need to be putting off. But you notice the sequence? You know that you do not put on until you put off. You put off. And it's more than just putting on a garment. That's kind of the illustration that is given here. But it's putting off that old, recognizing it's the old nature that I have within me that brings temptation. Because of that, I am tempted. But yet, I must put those things off. And then I put on. You may tell yourself, "I'm just not going to do that." And you may, in a sense, put off. But if you do not put on, you likely will fall right back into it again. Put off. Then refocus. Your life takes a different walk. It's a change of heart. Putting off. The new becomes a pattern now because the old has been put away. You cannot develop a new pattern until the old is put off. Remember that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Rely on God's grace daily. You may have to just daily, over and over again, even during the day, you may have to just simply pray and ask God to fortify you and strengthen you. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Number 5, hate what God hates. Embrace what God loves and hate what God hates. Romans 12, verse 9. "Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." And again, I'm taking it out of its context just a bit there. But the principle applies. You see, the things that don't look bad are easier for us to get next to. But if we look at this thing of sexual immorality as something that God hates, and we start hating it, we abhor it, and when those temptations come, we rely on the grace of God, His power, His strength to deliver us. And you may have to just come back again and ask God for cleansing and a renewing of the mind. It is possible. God expects us to live above these things. And God has provided all that it takes for us to live that way. And we must become practical or it will not work. So God bless you as you face some of these things, these confrontations sometimes, when you may totally unexpected. God bless you with the grace and the courage to do what it takes to be holy. God has called us to holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, God says, 1 Peter. Would you kneel to pray, please?